Luke chapter number 16 tonight. We preached this morning with the help of the Lord on a place called heaven. Boy, I'm glad there's a place called heaven. Tonight I want to look in the Bible. The Bible says something about preaching the whole counsel of God. And I want to talk to you for just a little bit. The Lord has shown me something that I'll share with you somewhere in the service tonight. But I want to talk about a place called hell. Just as surely for the people of God as there's a place called heaven, for those that leave this world without Jesus, there's a place called hell. Just as surely tonight as heaven is sweet, and I believe heaven is more than we can even describe, more than we can even fathom in our hearts and in our minds. What we do have, the Bible said, is revealed unto us by the Spirit. But I believe when we get there, we'll be a whole lot like the Queen of Sheba. When she came to see Solomon, came to hear about his, she heard about his wisdom and heard about his riches and heard about his glory. When she got there, Brother Rose, she said, the half was not told me. Glory to God, I believe when we walk through the gate, we might just say the half was not told me. Amen. Preacher's been trying to preach it, been trying to tell it. But I wonder sometimes if a man, woman, boy, or girl dies and leaves this world without Jesus, if they wouldn't go to hell thinking the same thing. The half was not told me. I believe it's hard to find words to describe the splendor of heaven, but also believe it's hard to find words to describe this awful place. The Bible said it wasn't created for us. I believe it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But it was created for the devil and his angels. The Word of God said, hell hath enlarged herself. I wonder if every time somebody goes there, it don't get just a little bit bigger. And in that, God is saying, I didn't make this great old big place for a bunch of people. I made it for the devil and his angels. And every time a man, woman, boy, or girl dies without God, it expands and gets a little bigger. The Bible said tonight in Luke chapter 16, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. That's plural. There's not just one torment in hell, but there are many. And he seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, thou art tormented. Beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also should come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. Well, I every time I read that, people in the world today are preaching a false doctrine. They're saying that repentance is not necessary for salvation. Let me just say this. Even this man in hell knows you've got to repent to get saved. Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Nobody ever got saved till they got sick and tired of sin. The Bible said then in verse 31, and he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. I'm not changing the Bible, but for you that are here tonight unsaved, here's the way it would read. If they don't believe Pastor Vinoy and the message that comes straight out of the Word of God, you wouldn't believe if a dead man sat up in front of you tonight. The Bible said faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Bible said without faith it's impossible to please God, for we must believe that He is, that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Pray with me tonight. I want to bring a message tonight on a place called hell. Our Father, tonight, I want to thank you for the privilege to open the Bible. Lord, I want to thank you that you loved us enough that, Lord, when you painted us a picture of yourself in this Bible, you didn't just let us see your love, and you didn't just let us see your mercy and your grace, but Lord, you let us see your wrath. Lord, I know it's not true of everybody, but I know, Lord, the night I got saved, hell was so real to me. Lord, I wanted to escape that awful place called hell. Lord, I thank you for saving me that night. Lord, I didn't realize that night what all you were going to do in our heart, in our life. But I want to stop and thank you tonight that, Lord, you didn't just save me from hell. Lord, you saved me for heaven. I pray tonight, Lord, that you'd speak to hearts. Get a hold of us tonight, our Lord. Lord, as we try our best to mind you this evening, God will give you glory. Save that one, Lord, that's nearest that awful place tonight. Speak to hearts, our Father, to those that might join the church tonight. I don't know, Lord, who you're dealing with. We want everybody, Lord, just to mind you. Father, we love you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. I believe tonight that according to the Word of God, there is a place called hell, don't you? I believe tonight that we want to avoid that place. I believe tonight if you love someone, you want them to avoid that place. Little Sawyer's my buddy. I say, where's Papaw's buddy? He say, right here. It'd be better he never been born as to grow up and leave this world without Jesus. I want Sawyer to get saved when it's time, and Olivia to get saved when it's time, and Amelia. What's that last one's name going to be, honey?
Ava.
Ava. That's pretty, ain't it? Almost as pretty as Eve. I want my grandchildren to be saved. God's already dealing with some of them. Already saved Aubrey. She has a precious testimony. She'll never forget it. Sister Gwen, you and Sister Helen. I know the old devil jumps up on the teacher's shoulders once in a while and says, why, it's all in vain. Ain't all in vain, is it? He's a liar. He's a liar. Tonight I think about this place called hell, and I go down through here tonight and give you a few things, and we'll close the service out tonight. I read this afternoon, and it blessed my heart. A young man was converted during a special evangelistic meeting held in a mining village. Wanting to do something for God, he bought some tracts, some gospel tracts. He was distributing them one day, and he met some former companions. They decided to deride him for his faith in Christ. They said, "Hey, can you tell me where hell is?" After a moment of hesitation, the newly converted man replied, "Yes, I can. It's at the end of every Christless life." What a good answer. I don't know tonight if you asked me that, you know, where hell is, that I would have answered like that, but that is the truth. There are testimonies of people that have left this world with their eyes on Jesus, and there are testimonies of people that have left this world and the flames licking at them before they drew their last breath. There is a place called hell. I want to give you several things the Lord put in my heart. I've preached on this text many times. You can't preach for 30 years and not preach on hell once in a while. But I don't preach on it just to be preaching on it. I try to be led of the Lord. But I'm going to tell you this tonight. It's a real place. Amen. I want to give you several things tonight. And verse number 23, the Bible said, "And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments." I don't want to take a lot of time, but I just want to say this tonight. In hell, there's no escape. Houdini was one that was an escape artist. Of course, there was always a trick to it, a key here or a key there, something hidden. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. There's nobody. Jesus, listen to me carefully. He has the keys of death and hell. And he can keep you out, but if you ever go there, the only time you'd ever come out is to stand before the great white throne judgment and be cast into an eternal burning lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone. I don't know about you tonight, but it burdens me to think there's no escape. There are men that have escaped from prison. There are men that have done their sentence and got out of prison. There are men that through the appeal process always have a great deal of hope that one day, they'll get out. But I tell you, in hell, all hope is gone. They know they will never get out. In hell, there's no escape. I want you to read with me, if you will, in Mark chapter 9, just for a moment. Read these verses with me in Mark chapter 9, beginning in verse number 42. I believe the Lord knows exactly what he's doing tonight. I didn't know this afternoon when he put it in my heart, but I said it on the front pew. God knows exactly what he's doing. The Bible said, "Whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it's better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and he were cast into the sea. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell." Watch these words. "Into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into a halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell. Into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched." Say whatever you want to tonight, but it's a loving God that warns us over and over and over and over in the Word of God to flee the judgment to come. This place where folk will never escape. There's no escape. But I give you this tonight in verse number 24. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. I'll say this tonight without apology. There's no mercy in this place called hell. The rich man was asking the wrong one for mercy. Beloved, let me tell you something. I'm not trying to be mean tonight, but folks running around in this world talking to somebody with their collar turned around backwards and trying to get mercy, talking to the wrong one for mercy. And it wouldn't matter if it goes on in the Baptist church, beloved. Listen, you're not going to find mercy telling the preacher what you've done. There's a high priest in heaven, amen. He's the one that has mercy to offer you and to offer me. Beloved, in verse 24 here, he said, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. I believe that according to John chapter 1, John said, I'm not that light, but I'm sent to bear witness of that light. He said, this is the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. I do not believe this is a parable. There's a certain rich man. Jesus never used names in parables. He uses Lazarus. He uses Abraham. You say, preacher, why didn't he call the rich man's name? He's embarrassed enough as it is. And I believe there was a time in this rich man's life when God sent him some light. And God had mercy. I thought about that woman at the well. She came with a bucket and left with the well. Think about that. Hallelujah. I believe there was a time in the rich man's life when he wouldn't have just needed a drop of water the way he's begging here, but he could have got the whole well. He'd have just trusted Jesus, the water of life. There's no escape. There's no mercy. Look at verse 25. But Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he's comforted and thou art tormented. Let me give you this tonight. There's no forgetting. You know, we brought out this morning, isn't it going to be wonderful in heaven? There are going to be some things we've left behind that we'll never remember again. Say amen. We'll never remember. Those thoughts will never pass through our mind again. But in hell, just like there's many bad things that we never remember in heaven, there are going to be a whole lot of good things that people in hell will never forget. The Word of God said that it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. Beloved, listen, God hung the stars out there for all of us. He put the sun out there for all of us. It rains on the just and the unjust, the Word of God said. But I'm telling you, in hell, people are going to begin to remember and they'll never forget how good God's been to them. One of the things I believe they'll go back to over and over and over is that time when God sent them some light. They rejected that light. Years ago, my dad was standing in a little community church, Sutherland Community Church, between Damascus and Backbone Rock. The roof goes almost all the way down to the ground. It's a big A-frame church. That's where I spent 6.5 years of my life when I first started going to church and trying to do better. It wasn't the church's fault. They preached the Bible and preached it right. It wasn't their fault that I wasn't saved. They were preaching Jesus, preaching heaven, preaching hell. My dad was standing there on a Sunday night, and God dealt with my daddy's heart. Daddy held on to the pew, went out the back door, Daddy had made a profession of faith earlier in his life. But I talked to Daddy about it years later. I said, Daddy, when did you get saved? He wouldn't go back to that profession. He went back to what I'm about to tell you when God got a hold of him. On Monday morning, Dad and I were working on a roof. It was called a standing seam roof. It was an old-timey metal roof. The fasteners don't show. You actually folded the metal together by hand. A lot of them are made out of copper. And this one, I believe it had a lot of copper and zinc in the material that we were using. My daddy said to me, this is Monday morning after leaving that church on Sunday night. My daddy said to me, he said, son, we need to be careful. It's frosty up here. One of us will fall. That's what he said. I don't know the length of time, but it just seemed like a few seconds. And I heard. And what I heard was my dad's butt hit the plywood. His feet went out from under him. And when I turned to look, my dad was going out off of the roof, 2.5 stories. I got down, I went down, I actually went over and through a window. The floors weren't put in the house, said it was a new house. Dropped down, there was a man on the ground floor, and I beat him to my dad. It's a thousand wonders I didn't fall trying to get off that roof to him. You say, preacher, what's the story? Well, Dad fell across a pile of 6x6s. He broke his back. He broke 3 ribs. He broke his shoulder. According to what my dad told me later, had he died that day, he'd have been in trouble. The preacher come to see my dad in the hospital. My dad looked at the preacher. You know what he said? He said, either you can look up when God's wanting you to look up. He said, or God can get you in a position where the only way you've got to look is up. My daddy took that straight from the Lord. He wasn't bitter over it. He knew, Brother Ralph, he had made a bad mistake. But he knew that while there was still mercy to be had. My dad was a member, I think, of 3 different churches that I can think of for sure. He was a pastor's best friend. He'd do anything that needed to be done around the church. He was a friend to the people of God, a friend to the man of God. But it was because he had that mercy while he was still living. Beloved, listen, in hell there's no mercy. In hell there's no escape. In hell there's no forgetting. They will never forget the goodness of God. In hell there's no water. They're begging for a drop, but there's no water in that place called hell. In hell there's no fellowship. Look at verse 26. The Bible said, and besides all this, by the way, let me just stop and say this. You've got people in their ignorance. I said in their ignorance. I'm not saying that to put them down, but in their ignorance, they'll say something like this. I want to go to hell. There's a party in hell. That's where my buddies are. Beloved, that is ignorance. That is a misunderstanding of what the Word of God teaches. It's outer darkness. There's no party. There's no fellowship. There's no friendship. There's no shaking somebody's hand. There's no hugging somebody's neck. The Bible said here, verse 26, besides all this, between us and you is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Beloved, let me just teach you something. I know many of you know this, probably maybe all of you. But this is before the resurrection of Jesus. This is a place called paradise. This is a place that's separated by a great gulf. But God's people are on one side and the devil's people are on the other side. But after Jesus, listen to me carefully, after Jesus rose again, he was the first fruits of them that sleep. And beloved, now when a believer dies, that's why he went down there and got these people, amen, and took them to heaven with him, amen. And now when the believer dies, it's to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Listen. Abraham told him there's a great gulf fixed. Well, let me just say this. The separation is more now than it was then. There's no fellowship in a place called hell. I want to give you this tonight. Two more things and I'm done. There's no opportunity in a place called hell. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Look here, please. The Bible said in verse 27, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they come into this place of torment. Beloved, the opportunities that we have today, listen to me, they will not have in this place called hell. This man, I say this dogmatically, I say it emphatically, this man had an opportunity to be saved. You say, how can you say that? Because I believe the Bible. The Bible said, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth? This is the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And now the opportunity's been squandered and there's no opportunity anymore. No opportunity to reach out to his brothers. No opportunity to pray for his brothers. No opportunity to make a difference in his brothers' lives. I guarantee you, he's thinking something like this. If I would have done what was right, maybe I could have helped them to see that they needed to do what was right. There's no opportunity. It's gone. And then I'll give you this tonight in closing. Just think about this for a moment. Think about this. There's no substitute. There's no substitute for the scripture. There's no substitute for the saints. Watch what the Bible said in verse 29. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. He's talking about hearing the word of God. He's talking about listening to the man of God. There's no substitute for the scripture. There's no substitute for the saints. He said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Never have caught this before in all my studies. And I'm going to show you something tonight that the Lord shared with me. You think about a place where there's no mercy. A man by the name of Alfred, he said, the most dreadful torment of the lost is the fact that which constitutes their state of torment, that which constitutes their state of torment, will be this coming to themselves when it's too late for repentance. You remember the story of the prodigal son. The Bible said he came to himself. And he said, how many of my father's hired servants? In other words, they got it. Them servants back yonder at the house got it better than I do. And the Bible said he came to himself. Now listen to me. I believe in hell they're going to come to themselves. Somebody said, well, I don't believe in hell. It won't even take a half of a half of a half of a second. And they'll be a believer. They'll come to themselves. And they'll understand too late. They came to themselves too late for repentance. It can't be changed after you lift your eyes in the region of the damned. Go back to Mark with me just a moment and I'm done. Let me show you what the Lord spoke to my heart about. Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter number 9. You remember we read in your hearing a while ago, verse 42 down through verse 49, where over and over and over it says the fire shall never be quenched. Their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Over and over and over. Look at verse 49. I never have put this together. For everyone shall be salted with fire. and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Brother John, you quoted the verse this morning that we're to present our body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Jesus in another text said, you are the light of the world. He said, you are the salt of the earth. How many remember that? But look at this in its context. Look at the next verse. He said, salt is good, but if the salt have lost its saltiness, wherewith shall you season, will you season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace one with another. I tell you, that right there ought to get a hold of our hearts. That ought to cause us to want to maintain good works. That ought to cause us to not just want to be saved ourselves, but want to see somebody else saved by the grace of God. Somebody said one time, well, you can't make a person get saved. I tell you something right now, you don't have to make a person drink if he's got enough salt in his mouth. You just get him around the water and he'll drink. Amen. You and I as God's people ought to be so salty if somebody hangs around us a little while. They'd want to drink living water. They'd want to be preserved unto eternal life. I didn't preach the scripture in its thoroughly, so to speak, or in its entirety, so to speak, but I've given you what God put on my heart to give you tonight. There is a place called hell. There's no escaping it. There's no mercy. There's no forgetting. There's no water. There's no fellowship. There's no opportunity, and there's no substitute for what keeps people out of hell. The Bible said that God chose by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The Bible said the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us that are saved, it's the power of God. Amen. Thank God for Calvary. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for salty people. I described that Sunday school teacher last Sunday. You remember that? Preaching to the kids. My Sunday school teacher when I was little, he was salty. I said he was salty. Man, I knew he had something. He was salty. My bus driver was salty. Salty. May we as God's people be salty as we leave here this week. Father, I thank you tonight for the word of God, for these that have come, for their patience and for their prayers. Lord, tonight, I don't know who it is. I was thinking, Lord, this afternoon that while one young man was getting saved this morning, multitudes were dropping off, unprepared to meet God, into a place called hell. God, it's my prayer that you would take the message tonight and speak to our hearts and help us, our Lord, tonight to pray for our loved ones now, not wait till it's too late. Help us, Lord, to get it on our mind and on our heart that we need to be salty. We need to, Lord, be a witness. Lord, we need to live a life that backs up our words. And I pray, Father, tonight, those, Lord, that would join the church tonight, God, that you'd bless them. That one, Lord, maybe more, that needs Jesus tonight in this auditorium. It's our prayer, Lord, that they wouldn't wait too long. Wait till the opportunity's gone and there's no mercy. Lord, may they come tonight while there's mercy, while there's forgiveness, while they can lose that burden of guilt, they can lose that shame, the shame that sin brings in life. And I pray, dear Father, tonight, you'd speak to hearts in a special way. In Jesus' precious name.